As we continue our study in the book of Ezekiel, we're still in the 12th chapter and now ready to begin at the 7th verse. In this 12th chapter of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is commanded to act out before the people the sign of the people being carried into captivity and of the king himself being carried into captivity. He's told to prepare his stuff for removing in the 3rd verse. And remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. So Ezekiel is to trudge back and forth from his place to another place in the sight of all the people so they can see that he is acting out somebody being carried into captivity and carrying all their belongings with them. And he's to do this in the day. Then he's also to go forth at even in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. So this is a kind of a walk that someone would have that was being made to go into captivity. And then he is told to dig through the wall in their sight and carry out thereby. That is, he'd dig a hole in the wall of his house and to carry his stuff out through that hole in the wall. And, of course, this was to signify the flight of King Zedekiah from his abode as a result of the siege of the city. He says in verse 5, dig thou through the wall in their sight and carry out thereby. In their sight thou shalt bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. So he was to carry his belongings upon his shoulders as though he were a common porter. He would do it in the twilight, that is, when the sun had gone down. And thou shalt cover thy face that thou see not the ground. And this covering of the face was probably a disguise so that he couldn't be recognized. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. So all these things were a sign to those living with Ezekiel in the captivity, a sign as to what would happen to the house of Israel. So beginning in verse 7, and I did so as I was commanded. So Ezekiel carried this out. Now this was probably a hard job, prepare all of his belongings for moving and then start moving them in front of everybody watching him, moving them back and forth during the day and then digging the hole in the wall and carrying everything out through the hole in the wall and putting it on his shoulders and walking along blindfolded. But he carried this out. I did so as I was commanded. And here again, it's beneficial for us to take note of the faithful example of Ezekiel in that he did follow what God wanted. He did as he was commanded. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity. And in the evening I digged through the wall with mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight and bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. So he carried out each detail that God wanted him to do in the sight of those that were watching him. And no doubt he had their curiosity aroused. But the reason for this was because they were a rebellious house. They would see and not perceive. And they would hear and not hear. And so he was trying to do something to get their attention so that they might consider the message that God was trying to get across. They still thought that because Zedekiah was on the throne that they were going to have a short-lived captivity. They still had a nation to go back to and that it would just be a matter of time until Zedekiah would get them out of their present difficulties and they'd be brought back to the land of Judea. However, they didn't realize, and this is the message God is trying to get them along, over to them, is that Zedekiah is going to be brought into captivity. Jerusalem is going to fall. The temple is going to be destroyed. The people are not going to be allowed to exist any longer as a nation in this land of Canaan. And they didn't want to see this. They didn't want to believe this. They wouldn't accept this fact. And so Ezekiel's job is to get this across to them. So he did as he was commanded. Verse 8. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying. Now this happened the day before and that night. Then Ezekiel had to wait until the word of the Lord came in the morning before he could give an explanation now. The word of the Lord came in the morning, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? And so he's asking Ezekiel, and this may be more of a statement than it is a question, because God no doubt knew what they did, but he is bringing to Ezekiel's mind the fact that they ask, "What doest thou?" Ezekiel had gotten their curiosity. They were wanting to know. They were asking the question. And it's always true. Anytime we are teaching any subject, and especially the Word of God, if somebody will have enough curiosity to ask a question, what does this mean? Or what does this say? Or indicating that they have some kind of interest, then you have gone a long way towards being able to teach that person. Those who have no questions and no interest, they're the ones that it's impossible to teach. You can't make them learn something if they're not interested. But by creating some interest, and Ezekiel did this, by following God's commands right down to the very letter, by creating some interest, then they asked the question, "What doest thou?" And so God is going to tell Ezekiel how to answer the question. Now, that's another important thing. Once the question is asked, we must know how to answer. We must be able to give an answer to any man that should ask us, a reason for the hope that's within us. And certainly Ezekiel realized what was going to happen as the prophet, but he had to be able to answer those who would ask the question, "What doest thou?" And so in verse 10, God says, "Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." Now, the words that you're going to say unto them are going to be the words I'm going to say unto you. You're going to quote me, Ezekiel. "Thus saith the Lord God." Here again, we cannot stress enough the fact that when we are teaching the gospel, when we're teaching the Word of God, the will of God, we must use the words of God. We must quote God. We cannot be allowed to just put things into a broad interpretation of our own, make some private interpretation. We must quote God. And that's what God intends for us to do. So, "Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them." So he begins to explain to them what this vision is about. He says it's about the prince in Jerusalem, King Zedekiah. It's the king over there. That's who we're talking about. "And all the house of Israel that are among them." It has to do with all the people there in Jerusalem. And of course it would include Judea. Verse 11. "Say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity." So this was the sign. And he says, "Just as I have done unto you to demonstrate this thing, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity." That's the message he's trying to get across. They're going into captivity. Now remember, at this same time, Jeremiah was prophesying in Jerusalem about the same things. And he says in Jeremiah 34, beginning with the second verse, what is going to happen here to Zedekiah. "Thus saith the Lord," this is Jeremiah 34, verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand, and thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon." So Jeremiah tells very specifically here what's going to happen, just the same as Ezekiel is stating, "They shall remove and go into captivity." Verse 12, "And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth." Now this is further stating in detail what's going to happen. This king is going to bear his belongings on his shoulder. He's going to carry them out as though he were one of the common servants of the household. But he'll be bearing it on his own shoulder in the twilight, that it'll be after the sun has gone down or is about to set. Not being the broad open daylight, he's going to sneak out by night, and shall go forth. That is, he's going to leave. He's going to make an exit. He's going to make a flight. Shall go forth. and they shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. Here again, specifically telling in detail what's going to happen, and this phrase, dig through the wall, really means to dig through the wall of a house rather than to dig through the wall of the wall of the city. Dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. Now this covering of his face is a disguise, no doubt, that he took on. Now you remember, Ezekiel had acted all this out, and you can imagine the curiosity that he must have aroused to have dug a hole in the wall of the house and carried his stuff out through that hole and then put a blindfold over his face and walk around so that he couldn't see the ground with his eyes. The people, no doubt, thought Ezekiel is really just about to lose his ability to think straight. He was acting in very bizarre behavior, but he did accomplish the purpose of arousing the curiosity so that they would ask the question of what was he doing, and then he could give them an answer, and that's what he's doing now. He's telling them what's going to happen to Zedekiah. Verse 13, my net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. Now, God states that he spreads the net and the snare. We see that it was the army of the Chaldeans that captured Zedekiah and that destroyed the temple and the city, but it was God's net. So God then was using the Chaldean army, using these Babylonians as his tool, as his instrument to bring about his will, just as he always has used the nations as instruments of his divine will. Now, it doesn't mean that the nations that do these things are righteous nations. He'll take the most wicked of men, but he still manipulates them so that they're carrying out his will. So he says, I will, my net will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Now he was carried into captivity. And the message Ezekiel has here is that this man that you're looking for to deliver you, you think he's going to manipulate the king some way, and he's going to deal with Nebuchadnezzar in some way, that he's going to bring about your release. Very shortly, he's going to be another prisoner over here, just like you are. He's going to be brought to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. He'll be a fellow prisoner instead of a savior for you. And he says, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And what he means here is that the eyes of Zedekiah were going to be put out by his captors. And in verse 14 he goes on and says, and I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. So they're going to be scattered. They're going to be made to flee in every direction. And those that would help the king will just be find themselves then fleeing in every direction, and I will draw out the sword after them. So it's not a matter of them escaping to safety someplace. The sword is going to follow them, and the large majority of them are going to be killed by the sword. Now, in Jeremiah 52, verses 4 through 11, Jeremiah gives the account of this escape and of the capture of the king. And so let's turn and read that. Jeremiah 2, beginning with the 4th verse. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged under the 11th year of Zedekiah. And in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled, and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about. And they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king and carried him up under the king of Babylon to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah. And the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. So we see very graphically there this account given by Jeremiah. In one place, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 34 that he will see the king of Babylon. And yet, when he saw him at Riblah, after he saw him, then his eyes were put out. And so when he got to the land of Babylon, he was blind, and he was not able to see it. And so we see then Ezekiel says, yet he shall not see it, though he die there, though he shall die there. And so there's no conflict. Zedekiah did see the king, his eyes were put out, then he did not see Babylon when he got there. So here he was a captive in Babylon. He was kept in prison there till he died, yet he never saw that land because his eyes had been put out. What a very tragic end for the king. Had Zedekiah simply followed God's will, had he done as Jeremiah was begging him to do, to follow along with what the king of Babylon wanted him to do, had he been submissive to the power of Babylon, then no doubt this would not have happened to him. But because he resisted, because he was proud, because he wanted to vaunt up his own power, then this happened to him. They looked upon poor Jeremiah as though he were a traitor, and he was just simply telling them to do the things that God wanted him to do, and he didn't want them to rebel like this. This same account is given in 2 Kings 25, verses 1 through 7, and we won't turn and read that at this time. So I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. Verse 15, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. Now here's the results of all of this, and that's very important. The results is that they shall know that I am the Lord. It took a scattering. It took a dispersal. It took the sword. It took the famine. It took the pestilence. It took the siege of the city. It took the capture of the king. All these things. But eventually, they begin to know that I am the Lord. The idolatry must go. You cannot share your faithfulness, your loyalty to God with another idol. You cannot do that with any other god. I am the Lord, and they shall know this. And certainly that was a lesson that this people did learn. They learned the lesson of idolatry. When they finally left the captivity and were allowed to go back into the land of Israel and rebuild the cities and rebuild the temple and reestablish the worship, they no longer were guilty of idolatry. We have no record of it. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Idolatry really didn't begin to again be a plague to God's people until the great apostasy of the church. And then the resurrection of Babylon, when this happened, then we have had idolatry ever since, plaguing the church. Now in verse 16, he says, but I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence. So they were not going to all be destroyed. God was going to allow a remnant to survive. They would survive the sword, that is the attack of the army. They would survive the famine, and they would survive the pestilence. Remember here, pestilence means the diseases. They were going to survive this siege of the city. And the reason that he was going to allow these to survive was that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whether they come. Now, they were going to be carried into captivity still. It didn't mean they would be allowed to stay there in the land of Judea or the land of Israel. They were going to be carried into captivity. They were going to be scattered among the heathen, but they would be then in a position to declare all their abominations. They were going to realize why they were into captivity, realize what was wrong that made God have to take this action toward them, and they would declare it among all the heathen where they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Here again, this very most important thing. This was the purpose of all this. God went to all this trouble. He brought all this misery, all this destruction upon his people, upon their nation, their cities, their homes, the temple. He brought all this because they really had forgotten that he was the Lord. They had put man's ideas into the place of God's ideas. They'd put the worship of the wrong things into the house of God. They considered, no doubt, that they were doing okay, that they were pleasing God, that this was all right to do things this way. They could go ahead and mix idolatry in with the true religion of God. It just simply means when they did this, they had really forgotten that he was the Lord. They'd forgotten that he had all the authority. He had all the power. He was to have all the say. They were to do all of his will. They were to leave none of his will out. They were to faithfully follow through with what he wanted them to do. They'd forgotten this, and they had failed to do it. And consequently, they were telling the world that they had forgotten that he was the Lord, that they didn't really know that he was the Lord. They weren't all that sure about him being the Lord because they were doing things their way. Now, this is a lesson for us today. We today need to know this great truth. This is one of the great ills of the so-called religious people today. They are doing things that come from man. They're doing things that come from tradition. They're giving little or no regard to what the true will of God is, and consequently they are announcing to the world that they're not sure that he is the Lord. They've got some ideas of their own about the thing, and they're not giving him due credit, due honor, due glory, due respect, and consequently they don't know that he's the Lord. But there's coming a time of judgment, and at that time of judgment, they're going to all see him, and they're going to all know that he is the Lord. And that's what happened here in the time of Ezekiel, and that's what this prophecy is talking about. Our time has expired. We're going to close at that point. Thank you.